1 Peter chapter 3, our text once again tonight, verses 1 through 6. Let us now together hear the inspired word of God. Wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives, when they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come once again this evening and we ask that you would make us to walk in the path of your commandments, that you would set our feet firmly in your word, that we might be obedient, that we might not just listen, but that we would also do. And so we ask that you would bless this study tonight and prepare our hearts to walk in the path of your word in our everyday lives. We pray that we would take, by your grace, what we learn here tonight, and that we would apply it throughout this week and in the days to come. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're here in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're talking about the marriage relationship, and in particular, we are talking about the need for a wife to be submissive to her husband. We've covered two basic areas as it relates to submission from the wife to the husband. We've talked about the nature of that submission. What is it? What does it look like? What does it consist of? What is it not? We made some clarifications, right, about what submission is not. And we spent some time talking about that so we know what it is wives are supposed to do, so you're not confused about what it means to submit to your husband. Then secondly, we talked about the purpose for that submission, which Peter focuses on here. It is here in this passage an evangelistic strategy, a means of seeking to win over an unbelieving husband. How will that be done? It will be done through submission, through loving and obedient submission to your unbelieving husband. That's what we talked about last time. Tonight, we want to move on to the third part of this, and that is adornment. Adorning yourself or clothing yourself, we might say. Peter wants Christian wives to think about what kind of adornment they should not be focused on and what kind of adornment they should be focused on. And I hope you'll see tonight that this all comes right back to submission, to this submissive spirit and attitude that God wants wives to have toward their husbands. Let's begin with the language of the passage here about that tells us why we ought to think of this in terms of adornment. Verse 3, do not let your what? Your adornment, that is how you clothe yourself, how you decorate yourself, so to speak. Do not let your adornment be merely outward. Peter doesn't want them to focus on exterior adornment and appearance. Verse 4, rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. That is to say, Peter wants them to focus on adorning their heart, on their character, their spiritual character. Verse 5, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves. They adorned themselves how? It's explained in the next statement, being submissive to their own husbands. They put on submission as a garment. They put on an obedient and submissive attitude, a humble attitude toward their spouse, like they put on clothing, like they put on jewelry and things like that. So that's why we're talking about adornment here. Now we're going to spend some time talking about clothing and hairstyle and jewelry and that sort of thing, but I don't want you to miss the point. The point is not so much about physical external dress, Peter is still talking about submission. The main idea of all six of these verses here is submission. Peter's just coming at it from different angles. He's hitting it from different directions, and that is the main point. Peter touches upon two areas here that are of particular concern to ladies, and that is submission to one's husband and dress. These are two of the major areas where Christian women, and all women in particular, experience temptation and struggle. It can be difficult for a wife to submit to her husband, and it can also be difficult for a woman to deal with the myriad of issues that comes with adornment, external adornment, clothing, jewelry, hair, all those sorts of things. So Peter provides instruction for these two basic areas for Christian women. Now, if you found me telling my wife what to wear and not wear, you might be tempted to say, Pastor Nick, you probably need to get out of there. you probably need to subtract yourself from that equation. And in many ways, you would be right. You would be right. I don't go into the closet and instruct my wife on what to wear. She is a grown woman. She can make those decisions, and she can do so in a godly and mature manner. So you say, okay, well, Pastor Nick, you're going to try to instruct us tonight on how women should and should not dress. Isn't that dangerous territory? Yeah, it is a little bit dangerous territory. And men are generally ignorant of many things as it relates to submission and dress for women. Men often fail to understand how hard it is for their wives to submit to them, even though it is a biblical command, and they often fail to understand all of the issues that are associated with dress. But I remind you, brothers and sisters, that it is my responsibility to preach the Word of God, and the Word of God here in 1 Peter 3 has to do with adornment. And so, yes, I'm a man, but so was Peter, and so get me out of the picture and just focus here on the fact that this is God's word, and this is not just Peter speaking, this is God speaking. This is the Lord speaking to his ladies, to his people, to Christian wives. You don't want me to tiptoe. And there are some preachers and pastors who tiptoe, and they tiptoe around the ladies in the church. Preach it, Brother Nick. Yeah, I know. So they tiptoe. Why? Because they don't want to offend. They don't want to offend the ladies. And if there are two areas in particular that they run the risk of offending the ladies, it's usually submission and dress. And there may be other areas as well. But you don't want me to tiptoe. You want me to preach the word, explain its meaning, and apply its meaning, even if that might make you a little uncomfortable. Even if it means you realize at some point in the sermon tonight, there's something I need to change. There's something I need to repent of. I hope if that's the case with you that you will accept God's word at face value, honestly, and make appropriate changes where they may be necessary. Let's begin then with outward adornment. Peter here instructs Christian wives that they are not to be engaged in or focused on external appearance or outward adornment. Verse 3, do not let your adorning be merely outward. Don't let your adorning of yourself be all about what's out here, about your external appearance. As we'll see here in a moment, he's going to get to where the adornment focus should be, and it should be the heart, should be the inner man, or the inner woman, if you will, that spiritual character of submission and gentleness and quiet and peace and all those things that we'll get to in a moment. You heard it in the scripture reading as well. The Apostle Paul echoes this in 1 Timothy 2. In like manner also he says that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. So you see Peter and Paul in complete agreement, speaking to the church, speaking in particular to the ladies of the church, about the importance of not focusing on external appearance. Now, the Apostle Peter deals with the three big areas as it relates to external appearance, and that is hair, jewelry, and clothing. So those are the three things we're now going to think about as it relates to external appearance. First of all, Peter addresses the outward adornment in terms of hair. Verse 3 again, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair." If you've got a different English translation, New American Standard that John read from has braiding, as does the English Standard Version. If you've got the King James, it says plaiting the hair, which is an archaic way of referring to arranging the hair or braiding the hair, you know, coming up with some fashionable or elaborate hairstyle. Now, in first century Roman society, wealthy women were often preoccupied with elaborate and expensive hairstyles. It was a signal of their status in society, that they had a certain hairstyle. You know, maybe there might be jewelry or something like that woven into their hair, things of that sort, that indicated who they were in the world, that they were someone important, that they were someone of wealth or status in society. Peter tells Christian women that they are not to be engaged in that. They are not to be concerned with the arranging of the hair. Now, when we say that, almost inevitably, someone will object and say, "So are you saying that I should just jump out of the bed and go about my day or come to church with my hair as is?" No. No, not exactly. Do women have to arrange their hair? Sure. And newsflash, men also have to arrange their hair to a certain extent. Well, some men do. Some men do not. Some men have not enough hair in order to arrange it. We all have to arrange our hair to a certain extent. So Peter's not forbidding any, in any shape or form, arranging, setting your hair, braiding your hair, that sort of thing. What is Peter forbidding? He is forbidding an excessive preoccupation with one's external appearance as it relates to your head, to your hair. And I think that you are probably familiar with this and perhaps have been guilty of it at some point, that you have been preoccupied with your hair, been focused on hairstyle rather than on godliness. So don't leave here tonight and say, "Pastor said I could not go to the beauty parlor anymore." No, you can go to the beauty parlor, but you do need to check your heart. You do need to check your heart and see why it is you're going there. What are you going there for? What is the purpose? Is the purpose to draw attention to yourself? Is the purpose mere external appearance? Or what is it that you are doing that for? Now, there are some that, you know, maybe they would go and get a particular hairstyle, and that hairstyle might cost a lot of money, you know, maybe hundreds of dollars. But they don't have any money for the poor. They don't have any money to give to the church. They don't have any money to give to missions. They don't have any money to help their neighbor, but they've got money for elaborate hairstyles. That would be a losing of the priority of where God wants your priorities to lie. He wants your priorities to be not out here, but here in your heart and where your heart is. So that's number one. Number two, the second area that Peter addresses in terms of outward adornment is jewelry. That's the meaning of verse 3 there. "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold." That is to say, gold jewelry. And that would include any type of jewelry. Peter just calls out gold jewelry in particular. That's the idea behind wearing gold, wearing it as an adornment, as jewelry. This is another area where women in the first century would be tempted to flaunt their wealth, to show their status in society by the wearing of jewelry. You might know that this particular woman is somebody important in society because of the type of jewelry that she has on. And that still goes on today, of course, that women often adorn themselves with jewelry in order to show who they are, in order to show others how much money they have or what their status in society is or something like that. Now, does this mean that wearing jewelry is always wrong? No, it does not mean that. Don't believe Peter is forbidding all wearing of jewelry, so you need not deposit it at the door in the trash can on your way out. We'll get to this in a minute, but we do have other places in Scripture where women are adorned, and it's not wrong to do that. So what is Peter talking about here? Again, he's talking about a preoccupation with and a focus on external appearance. And if the jewelry is an indication that your primary focus, what you think is really important, is your external appearance, then the jewelry needs to go. Then the jewelry needs to be stashed, sold, discarded, what have you. The third and final area that Peter deals with here is that of clothing. Verse 3 again, arranging the hair, that was number 1, wearing gold, number 2, or putting on fine apparel. Now, the New King James is a little explanatory in its translation. Literally, in the Greek, it is putting on clothing. Now, of course, we know that Peter is not forbidding women from putting on clothing. That would be bad if he said, stop clothing yourself. That's not the idea. So the New King James isn't off the mark when it tells us about putting on fine apparel or fine clothing. Again, the idea is a preoccupation with one's dress, with one's clothing, whether it's the right kind of clothing or expensive clothing or what have you. Now, if you go to the grocery store, the magazine rack at the grocery store is filled with what? With ladies and fashion, with what they're wearing, the latest dress or whatever it may be. The world focuses on that. The world focuses on that outward adornment in terms of hairstyle and jewelry and clothing and that sort of thing. Or the red carpet, you know, the movie premiere. And what do they do? I see that now and I just think it's ridiculous, really. They step out of the limousine, and what does the woman do? She stops and she preens for the camera. And what is that about? It's not about her character. It's not about how kind she is or any of that. It's about what? It's about how she looks. It's about the dress that she's got on and the clothing, the jewelry, accessories, all that sort of thing. American culture, as many cultures have been throughout the history of the world, is the precise opposite of what Peter is talking about here. American culture is going to teach women to focus on the external, to put their emphasis on what you look like out here. And because of that, so many people are desperate to stay young, to be fit, and to adorn their outer person in a certain way. Now you say, Pastor Nick, are you saying that Peter is saying that all Christian women ought to be frumpy? You know what frumpy is, right? The dreaded frumpy. That no woman wants to be frumpy, right? No woman wants to be plain. She wants to be beautiful. Now, as I said a moment ago, that can be good. It depends on the heart. It depends on the motive. So if a woman arranges her hair, puts on jewelry, wears nice clothing, modest clothing, in order to please her husband and be beautiful for her husband, is that a bad thing? No, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. So we're not talking about that. I said a moment ago that you do have examples in Scripture of women being adorned. For example, Rebecca, remember when Eliezer goes to get a wife for Isaac, what does he do for Rebecca? Genesis 24. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring weighing half a shekel and 2 bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels of gold. There's no indication that he was wrong to do so. He wasn't wrong to do so. Or God himself adorns his people. Now I realize the passage that I'm getting ready to read you is figurative. It's symbolic. But I think it just demonstrates that adornment externally in and of itself is not wrong. It's what you're focused on. It's your preoccupation, where your priority is, we might say. Ezekiel 16. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I thoroughly washed off your blood. I anointed you with oil. I clothed you in embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. I clothed you with fine linen and covered you with silk. I adorned you with ornaments, put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck. And I put a jewel in your nose, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. That is a symbolic description, a spiritual description of what God did for his people in salvation. So again, what is Peter saying here? Peter is not forbidding absolutely any and all external adornment. He is teaching Christian women to not let that be their focus. Because these things demonstrate where your heart is. Where is your heart? What is it you are doing, and why are you doing it when you focus on your external appearance? We need much, much less focus on that. I realize we have to do it. Men and women both. We have to do something with ourselves. We don't roll out of the bed and just go for it. We need to brush our hair. We need to put on some decent clothing and all that sort of thing. But America is going to teach you to be preoccupied with those things and make your external appearance the most important thing. It is not. Okay? So if it's not that, what should it be? Verse 4. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. That's where the adornment should be. Do you want to adorn something? Adorn your heart. Adorn your character by living in a certain way. Peter refers here, first of all, to the hidden person of the heart. That is your inner person, your soul, your spirit, your heart, who you are on the inside. That's what you ought to be concerned with. That's where your focus ought to be, on the cultivation of spiritual virtue and character. That is incorruptible, Peter says. Let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty. Beauty supplied there of a gentle and quiet spirit. What is it that's incorruptible? It's that gentle and quiet spirit. It can't be corrupted. It can't be destroyed. It won't perish. We've already seen this word a couple of times here in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1:4, it described our heavenly inheritance, right? To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now we come here to the wife, the Christian wife, and she is to have that incorruptible, quiet, and gentle spirit. I always think it's sad to see, you know, you ever watch an old movie and you see this lady who used to be the famous movie star. She was young. She was beautiful, and she was the talk of the town at that time, but that was 60 years ago, or that was 30 years ago, or what have you. And you see the picture of how she looks today, and she doesn't look like she used to. That's because that external appearance, that external beauty doesn't last. It fades. But what will not fade is Christian character. Spiritual qualities, those are the things that do not fade. As the outer person wastes away, the inner person is renewed in Christian virtue. That's what Peter wants women to focus on. Matthew Henry puts it this way: the ornaments of the body are destroyed by the moth and perish in the using, but the grace of God, the longer we wear it, the brighter and better it is. So what kind of virtue should you adorn your hidden person of the heart with? Specifically, the incorruptible virtue, verse 4, is a gentle and a quiet spirit. That word gentle could also be translated meek. It's the word, same word in the third beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Same idea, it's translated gentle here. Those are somewhat interchangeable words, to be meek, to be gentle. The Christian wife is called upon to be a gentle person, a meek person, and a quiet person, a peaceful person. The opposite would be the rebellious woman, the woman who's stirring up problems for her husband, arguing and fighting and rebelling against the leadership of her husband. It would be the woman who insists on her own rights, the woman who is pushy, selfishly assertive, and demanding her own way. Now, what is the connection with this gentle and quiet spirit and submission? I hope you can see it right off the bat, that those things go together, peanut butter and jelly, right? To have a gentle and quiet spirit is to be submissive. And to be submissive is to have a gentle and quiet spirit as it relates to your husband, as it relates to your marriage relationship and your partner. Peter goes on. Verse 4, he says, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And notice what he goes right on to say, verse 5. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves. How did they do it? Being submissive to their own husbands. So when Peter is talking about a gentle and quiet spirit, he hasn't forgotten about submission. He's still talking about the same thing. It's another way of coming at it, another aspect of this submissive attitude. This gentle and quiet spirit, end of verse 4, is something precious and valuable in the sight of God. End of verse 4, which is very precious in the sight of God. What is very precious in the sight of God? The gentle and quiet spirit. That's what God values. So in the first century, you've got women who are preoccupied with their hair, with their jewelry, with their clothing, and presumably they're preoccupied with that which is expensive, with that which is fine in terms of those three things. That's what people valued. People valued that. Women valued that. They wanted an expensive hairstyle. They wanted expensive jewelry. They wanted expensive and fine clothing. And women still want that today. They still desire those things because they think they are valuable. They're worth having. But God here tells us in 1 Peter 3 that what is really valuable is a gentle and quiet spirit, is a submissive attitude and life toward one's husband. The world values good looks and outward appearance, but God values spiritual character. And ladies, you must learn to realign your thinking and your life with God's perspective on these things. I realize that we spend, you know, our lives in the world watching the news, watching TV, listening to music and different things like that, and you're going to get bombarded with a message there. And the message is not this. It won't be this. So you need to soak your mind, your heart, your life in the Word of God here at church and outside the church so that you can learn to value what God values. Now, Peter closes with an Old Testament example in general and specifically the example of Sarah. So let's look at that as we close out our study of this passage. Verse 5, for in this manner in former times the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves. Peter is here talking generally about the believing women, the godly women of the Old Testament, who adorned themselves, weren't focused on their external appearance. They adorned themselves internally with the character of submission, with the attitude of submission. And then Peter specifically turns to Sarah in verse 6, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. So Sarah is here held up as a specific example of one of these holy women of old who displayed this gentle and quiet spirit, who was submissive to her husband, Abraham. And Christian wives, Christian women, are the daughters of Sarah if they walk in her footsteps, if they go in this same path of submission that Sarah walked in. Now, let's finish here by thinking about some of the qualities that are mentioned of these holy women of old. The first one that I'd like to point out to you is hope. Back in verse 5, "For in this manner in former times, the holy women who trusted in God." Now, the New King James has "trusted in God" there, but the Greek word is actually the word for hope. They hoped in God. Now, I realize those two things are, you know, they're very, very close, hope and trust. But they put their hope in God, and that went right along with them submitting to their husbands, being submissive to their spouse. They put their hope in the Lord. Now, this brings us back to something that we've talked about repeatedly here in 1 Peter, and that is focusing yourself on God and your relationship with Him and your hope in Him, your trust in Him. We talked about that with government, right? You need to get beyond the governmental leaders, look beyond them to the Lord. We talked about it with the slave and his master. You need to look beyond your master and you need to see the Lord. Who am I doing this for? Where is my hope? It's in God. And now we see it again with the Christian wife. She is to place her hope in God. She's to trust in Him as she submits to her husband. She gives herself, puts herself in the hands of the Lord and trusts Him to take care of her. Undoubtedly, some of these women that Peter writes to were in difficult situations with unbelieving husbands. Apparently, in the first century, a wife was expected to follow along with the religion of her husband. He was the head of the household, and so she needed to worship the husband's gods. She needed to follow after the ways of her husband in terms of religion. So some of these women would have been in a very tight spot because they couldn't do that. They couldn't worship the idols anymore of their husband. They had to stay true to Christ and to God. So they submit to their husband in all things that they can, and they place their hope in the Lord to take care of them. That's what you must do as well. You must put your hope in the Lord. You must see beyond your husband's failings, your husband's sins, your husband's weaknesses, your husband's lacks. And you must say, I do this because I hope in God. I do this because my trust is in the Lord and not so much in my husband. The second quality they exemplify is that of doing good. Verse 6, "As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you what? If you do good." Now again, that's been another emphasis here in 1 Peter. Doing good. Christians are to do good. How do they do good? They submit to their government. They're good citizens. How does a slave do good? He does right by his master, does good work, does the right things, and if he has to suffer for it, then so be it. That's commendable before God, but he does good. And now we see it again with Christian wives. What are they to be focused on? They're to be focused on doing good. And specifically, what is that good that they're called to do? That good thing is to submit to their husbands, is to be obedient toward their own husbands. The final aspect of this attitude of the Christian wife is that of being unafraid, is that of being fearless. That's that final part of verse 6 there. "Whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." That's an interesting way to put it, isn't it? The basic idea is that they are to submit to their husbands, put their hope in God, without fear of what their husbands might do. Without fear, an undue fear, we might say, of their husbands and how they might be treated. And that's important still today for Christian wives. We often, again, focus on the human being, and sometimes we will say, well, if I do what God wants me to do, who's going to take care of me? Who's going to make sure I get what I need? And many times it's who's going to make sure I get what I want. But what God wants us to do is He wants us to do good and do what is right and put ourselves in His hands and not be afraid. Not be afraid that God's will is not going to be done, that we're not going to be taken care of. And many times that is a big fear. And it's a fear for Christian wives as they submit to their husbands. What if he does wrong? What if he messes up? What if he fails? What if he makes a bad decision? Surely, Pastor Nick, I've got to take over. I've got to shove him out of the way, and I've got to take the reins of this situation. Well, I hope that's not your situation. But many times those questions are asked, and ladies get fearful about what will happen if they do what God says. They become fearful of what might occur if their husbands lead and they follow their lead. But Peter here exhorts you, my sisters, to put yourselves in the hands of God. It's not so much that your husband is the greatest thing since sliced bread, and therefore you should submit to him. That's not the case anyway, right? He's not the greatest thing since sliced bread. Okay, well, maybe some of you are, but some of you are not, and we know that for certain. So we don't do it for that reason. You're not exhorted to do it for that reason. You're exhorted to do it because that's God's will for you, because that's what God wants for you. And what do? You obey, and you put your hope in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this portion of your word. And we ask, Father, particularly tonight, for Christian wives. We ask for the ladies. We ask that you would give them grace, Lord, to ensure that they are focused on not on their external appearance, but on their heart and on the spiritual character that you call them to have. Help them to cultivate that gentle and quiet spirit, that submissive attitude. Lord, we know that can be very difficult. And we men know that we make it difficult sometimes. But we ask, Father, that you would encourage them and strengthen all of your people, these ladies that belong to you, your daughters. And ask that you would help them to obey you and what this passage of Scripture says and put their hope in you, knowing that you will take care of them, that you will do right by them. Lord, I thank you for each person that's here tonight. I pray that you'd be with them this week. Help them to love you, serve you, to see your providence and your goodness in every area of their lives. We ask that you would preserve us and watch over us. Most importantly, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Help us to be faithful to you this week in every way. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Grace be with you.